Y'all enjoy revival this week, the one that y'all went? What about Tuesday night? I'm just kidding. That's when I preached. I was first up. Took a lot of pressure off. I got the Cadillac the rest of the week. Excuse me. I can't tell any jokes. I can't laugh. But I do have one. And this joke is actually going to tie into what we're talking about. And I got a little testimony about what we're going to talk about today. So there were three religious leaders in the community. You know how it goes. A priest, a rabbi, and a preacher. We're sitting around talking about how they run their finances. The priest says, at the end of the week, I make a line on the floor. Then I take out all the money out of the donation box, throw it in the air, and what lands on the left, it goes to God, and what lands on the right is for me. All right? The rabbi says, I do something similar. At the end of the week, I draw a big circle on the floor. I throw the donation money into the air, and whatever lands in the circle is for God. And the temple, and whatever lands outside the circle is for me. So here's the preacher. You ready for the preacher? He got to figure it out. The preacher perks up and says, I do something similar too. At the end of the week, I throw all the donation money into the air. With a smile, he said, whatever God catches, he keeps. So, we got the joke out of the way, so we're good there. So, I'm going to be honest with you. I have really struggled this week on doing this message I'm going to do today. And just simply put, I don't want to. But it don't matter what I want. So God had laid on my tithing. We can talk about tithing. And that's my least favorite subject to preach on. But, and I got some of the reason he wants me to do it already, because it kind of opened my eyes up to something too. So maybe that's the reason he wanted me to preach about that. So the title, it's in the title, is it's not about the money. Okay? So I want you to be honest. You don't have to raise your hand or speak up, but just think about this. When you hear the word tithing, do you get a negative thought about tithing? Or, you know, because of the abuse over the years, you know, centuries of people, you know, anytime you deal with money, you got a potential situation you're going to get into, right? Or can. So, but it's not about the money, and we're going to try to break this down today on why we tithe. And not only why we tithe, but when we should tithe. And you'd be surprised, it's not a set time. I don't want to get ahead of myself. So turn to Malachi. That's where we'd be at today. Malachi 3:10. I'll give you a few minutes to get there. So when y'all looking that up, so, you know, John, I had my sermon already ready to go, I thought. And then God, and I can tell you a whole bunch of testimony. It's been a week, put it that way. And God put this on my heart, so I had to revamp everything I was going to talk about today. And that's okay. And so, because I do know that God knows best. And there's a reason we're going to talk about this today. And I don't necessarily know what it is, unless it is just for me. But we're going to discuss it. So Malachi, let me get my readers on. I can see a little bit. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Dear Heavenly Father, we take these few words today, the scripture you provided for us, Lord. Just open our minds, our hearts, and just give us the message you want us to receive out of this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we're going to break that down here in a little bit. Sorry, my mouth is. Usually I don't get thirsty unless I'm nervous, but I think my antibiotics are making me dry mouth. I ain't nervous. All right. So let's break this down. It's pretty simple at first. We're going to get into it a little bit. We put God first. Okay? Talk about tithing. We put God first. And let me just go ahead. Everything we do, we put God first. Everything we do. Or we should, okay? Put God first. And so why do we put God first? Because he did everything for us that we couldn't do. He sent his son to die on that cross for us and save us from dying. Number one. So we put God first. Okay? Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but God created everything. You know, he created the stuff that we use to make money, to make other stuff. So he owns it anyway. So why we got to give it to God or some of it to God? When we get into that. When we put God first, things begin to happen in our lives that we would never experience until we do. Y'all catch that? We experience things that we never would experience if we hadn't put God first. I'm sure there's a ton of testimony in here. And so where God did something in your life because you was obedient, we use that word a lot, and you put him first. And that's what we need to do. So we put God first. And this is, I'm pulling this out of Malachi. We prove God's promise. What did he promise? What did he say? Then you won't have enough room to store it. Now, we're going to talk about his ideal of overflowing compared to ours. Okay? My dad said, my grandma used to say, that person has enough money to burn a wet dog. However much money that is. We ain't talking about that. Okay? So he may bless you with some money and stuff. And you live in the number one country in the world still today and stuff. And we got more blessings we know what to do with. And so we put it in perspective. But so we're going to prove God's promise. This is the one time that he tells us, go ahead and test me with it. And we get into that here in a minute. And we profit from God's provision. So we put God first. We prove his promise to us. And we profit from God's provision. Let me back up to God's promise. Doing what God tells us to do prompts him to pour out his blessings on us. Just think about it. Just in my little brain, this is how I processed it and stuff. Why am I going to do something for you if you ain't done nothing for me? That's the flesh talking, right? And so why would God overflow your storehouses if you don't put him first? Why would he? Just think about that. Why would he? He already did the one thing you couldn't do. And he did it on the cross. So if he did nothing else, that's enough. More than enough. If he did nothing else, you received nothing in the rest of your life here on this earth was hardship. He don't owe us nothing. He don't owe us nothing. We profit from God's provisions in ways and places we never dreamed of. God provides for our needs. He provides for what? Our needs. Let's put this in perspective, okay? Sometimes your needs might be what you want, so you might get some wants, but he can provide for your needs, okay? We need to keep that in focus. Anything extra, just praise God. We praise God's name when we tithe. We praise God's name. And I'm going to get into something else here in a little bit. Just give you a little glimpse there. Not necessarily monetarily. Okay? We'll talk about all that. We could never repay the Lord for what he has done. By the grace of God, his mercy, his grace. What's grace? something that we don't deserve that he did for us. So we can never repay him. But we can honor him in our obedience. And I get some scripture here in a little bit just for references on where it says about tithing and stuff like that. But why don't you come away with today? And I don't think y'all thinking that because I ain't said it, but we're not focusing on the money. We're focusing on, it's not about the money, about why we're doing it. The blessings that God will provide for us outweighs any kind of monetary gain, period. It makes it personal to us. We personalize God when we give. Now, you know, this is one thing, maybe not necessarily the only thing, but, you know, we talk a lot about church. You know, I'm looking at the church, the people, right? This is the one thing that's individualized, tithing. And so what's God, we're going to talk about what God laid on your heart. Get that personal relationship. Remember how you get that personal relationship? Throw religion out and have a relationship, that one-on-one. That's the only way you're going to get it. How you get to know somebody? Hang out with them, talk to them. We got that avenue through prayer, congregating like we are today, being obedient to God, doing what he tells us to do. God cares about how we internalize and respond to his commands in our daily lives. This is one way we bear witness of his greatness. Nobody is going to see Christ unless you show Christ to them. The way we carry ourselves, the way we act, the way we do, our Christian walk daily, remember, we talk about that a lot, our daily walk with Christ. Nobody's going to know, or we ain't going to be a witness to Christ if we don't live Christ-like, if we don't do his obedience and do what he tells us to do, or do his commands. Obedience. So we get personalized with him. And the closer we get to God, the closer we get to God, the more godliness we display. We got to line up with God. We got to be in tune to what he wants, what he does, what he commands us to do. We got to walk with him. We're the light of the world. We're that beacon of light for the world. Sunday through Saturday. I know I beat a dead horse about daily, but I can't emphasize it enough. Obedience requires a step of faith. Yet God will provide affirmations so that his children know that they are walking in his way. We talked not too long ago. You know what the disconnect between us and God is? It's us, the flesh, what we let interfere with our walk with him. God is always there, always will be there, always was there, always going to be there. I just explained eternity. From now on, what's that over? It don't get no gooder. And all we got to do, he's right there for us. We have to reach out to him in obedience. And here's another thing about tithing. We get to participate in God's work. What's God's work? What's he called us to do? Each and every person in here is called. Everybody. If you a follower of Christ, you got that personal relationship with him, you are called. And you get to participate in God's work. If you don't do what God tells you to do, then you go out there and preach the word or try to preach the word, it ain't going to work out so good. People see what we do and say. They might not tell you about it, but they're watching. Everybody's watching. How are you going to handle situations that come up in your life? You going to rely on God, or are you going to run away from God? People watch that. In doing God's work, when we pool our resources, talking about tithing, when we pull it together, so I say it was an individual deal, it was the act of obedience individually, then you can put it together and stuff. Because my little bit added to everybody's little bit would be a lot for God's work. I know that wasn't good English, but that's the point. The resources for his kingdom work. They accomplish things greater than their individual contributions ever will. The church, because of individuals, remember there's one body, many parts. We all give a little bit, and then look what we can do. Some great things with God working through us. Listen to Proverbs 11:25. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. That's some pretty good advice there. I think Jesus kind of sums it up a little bit about the greatest commandments, do unto others, and do unto you. Help your fellow man. Help them out. And you'll find out when you're obedient and doing what God prompts you to do or to give, you can't put a price on what. If this church reached one person today, that's priceless. You can't put a price on it. You cannot. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. I kind of transitioned into what Paul says. I read Malachi, Old Testament, talking about tithing. Now let's transition to Paul, Apostle Paul. Remember this. You know what that means when it starts out, remember this? It means remember that. Excuse me. I'm trying not to laugh because it hurts. Hang on, I got my backup. Hang on. All right. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you, here comes that individual, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having that you need, you will abound in every good work. You'll find out if you're obedient to Christ, he'll take care of the rest of it. And put it on Christ. He said, what's the passage of my burden's light? Matthew, somewhere in Matthew. Give it to Christ. If you're struggling with tithing, just give it to Christ. Let him guide you in how you tithe. How you give. You know, we got to, you know, a tithing means a tenth, 10%. I'm going to take it a step further. So this is what God, okay, here's my testimony. Here's what God kind of enlightened me with. 10%, you know, that's kind of a guideline on giving. But just like I preached before. Are you here in church because you want to be here, or that's just what you're supposed to do? Same thing with tithing. Are you giving because that's what you're supposed to do, or you from your heart want to give? There's a difference. Are you going through the motions because that's just what we do? Or are you giving from the heart? Don't get hung up on the 10% is what I'm trying to say. Now, he says give 10% in the Old Testament and forward. But see what Paul said? Give what you decided in your heart to give. If you line up with Christ, you're obedient to him, he's going to prick your heart and he's going to tell you what to do. You do what Christ tells you to do. Who am I or anybody else to tell you what you should give? That's between you and God. That's that relationship. That relationship. I can't stress that enough. That relationship, personal relationship. You do what God tells you to do. You don't worry about nobody else. It's just like this sermon today. I struggle with it. I don't want to do this sermon. I didn't want to do it. But he told me to. I had to. So here's a little biblical stewardship characteristics. It means you got a little character to it. I don't laugh at that one. That's good. I don't need to laugh. It hurts when I laugh. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 2 tells us, now about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian church, this is Paul talking, to do. Now, if you read this at face value, we can break it down. On the first day of every week, each of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Don't let traditions, or don't let, because you're supposed to do it this time of month. And so the reason he said that, get you a routine. You get you a routine, you, individual. A lot of people do it on payday, whatever. That works for you, that's fine. So what Paul was trying to establish is consistency, habit forming. So you don't have to give like he's not specifically saying you have to give a certain time a month or week or whatever. He's just saying just give, but start your routine. What works for you? What's the best time for you to do it? It's periodic, not about the day, as it is getting into a habit of giving regularly to God. You form you a habit of giving, and it'll start flowing. It's periodic. It's personal. The responsibility to give is the individual, not the church. We talked about that. When we do what is right, the church is blessed. We're all in this together. Everybody doing their part, what we're supposed to be doing, what God is leading you to do, not what I tell you to do or instruct you to do, what God tells you to do. That relationship, remember? The responsibility to give is the end of, I read that, I'm sorry. One day we will all stand before the Lord and give an account of our stewardship. Now here's where we're going to shift gears a little bit. Your time, your talents, and your treasures. Don't get hung up on monetarily. You know, we need money to operate and all that kind of stuff. We all know that. But don't focus on that. You focus on what God's leading you to do. You give your time what God tells you to do. It takes time to be a Christian. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, it takes you some time. Not just to show up today and don't come back to next week. I wasn't staring at you. I just threw that out there. Make a routine, just like in giving, and with your time and your talent. Well, I don't have a talent. Yeah, you do. God created. Don't insult God by telling him you don't have a talent because he created you and called you to do something. Amen. I heard that a bunch of times. Well, I ain't got no talents. Yeah, you do. You got something you can give, provide, teach, give. and go fill up somebody's tank of gas so they can get to work. That's down on their luck. Something. He's not asking for a miracle. He just asks you to do what I tell you to do. That's all you got to do. And your treasure. Your money. We all need money to survive. Sometimes you got unexpected things that come up financially. We've probably all been there at some point. Remember, back up a little bit, what did he say? Giving faith. That's where that faith comes in. That he's going to provide your needs for you. If you try to wait till things are right in your mind, you won't never give. So be management of your time, your talents, and your treasure. God's people today are called to be faithful in their stewardship. I'm going to give you a little history on tithing here. Anybody know where it started in the Bible? Who first says something about it? Abraham. Abraham commenced it. That's a big word for he started it. That's in Genesis. Out of great respect, he gave his great respect to God that got him out of a bind. He felt led, not because that's at this point it hadn't been recorded yet that it's been done, but out of his heart, he felt led to give. And that's what he done. So he started it. Fast forward, you got Jacob continued it. Remember Jacob and Esau? Remember the bind they got in? The brothers? Jacob continued it. He felt led for God to protect him. And he felt led in his heart. He had to give for that. Moses commanded it. To direct or do it. Let me give you just a little real quick history lesson. A standard to go by. That's what Moses did. Remember, the Israelites been in Egypt, slaves, 400 years. They was told when to do, what to do, how to do, all that. They weren't no more intelligent than an animal, to put it bluntly, because they didn't have to do, they didn't have to think. They didn't have to. 400 years of that. So when they come out in the wilderness, they had to get a set of rules that Moses gave them to know how to live and survive as humans. Because everything else at this point, they were just workers and slaves. So this is when Moses established it. Just get something to, you know, you got to have a starting point somewhere. Jesus commended it, praised it, said it was a good thing. But that's what Jesus done outside of saving us. Jesus redirected the focus of tithing, not the act, but the intent. What's your intent when you give? Because you're supposed to do it, or you feel led to do it? What's your intent? What's in your heart? Paul concluded it. We read in Corinthians. And I said he concluded it. He didn't stop it. This concluding, this version of conclude means that he made a decision that it was good. And so it continued on. Giving in proportion according to one's income and according to one's means. Giving a heartfelt and generous gift, not out of compulsion. That's what Paul says. Not not because you think you have to, because you want to. If believers take God's disciplined approach, they can focus their energies on doing His work and building His kingdom. What we should be doing anyway, right? So, He calls us to, on the things we do, and some of those things take money. Some of those things takes time. Some of them takes talent that we got to use. Whatever God has placed on your heart, you just obey. Remember, it should be regular. It should be proportionate. And this is where it's a little different from the strict 10% to a principle of giving based on ability. What's your ability and your means at that moment that God puts on your heart to give? That's what we should focus on. So Jesus, right before He was took to the cross, this is what I'm going to close with. He went to the temple. They had a tax boxes set up where people pay the temple tax and giving. He was watching, and Mark tells us a woman, a widow woman, came and put two mites, two pennies, the lowest amount of money at that time. That's all she had. She gave it. Prior to that, he watched the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all the other people giving their stuff and their amount. He called his disciples over and he said, that lady gave more than anybody else because she gave all she had and had the faith that God and Jesus were going to take care of her. And that's more important. Don't get hung up on a number. You just get hung up on Jesus and what He's calling you to do. He'll prompt you. He'll lead you. But you got to get that walk with Him. You got to stay close to Him. Yeah. So that's what you need to do. I'm going to get y'all to stand. Daryl's going to play a song of invitation. It all starts with receiving Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you hadn't done that, I'll be standing down the front. Stand where you are. Come up here. You need to pray. What you need to do. Just take care of your business. And then that's the first step. And then just carry it on. If you are a Christian, you already have Christ. I don't know if this touched you or not. Maybe it gave you a different perspective on what tithing is. This remember it's from the heart. And it's God-led. Daryl?